the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to be with us during this episode. We're going to speak about the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. Let's see what date is today. Today, Monday, is the 4th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Mehr, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear friend, I invite you to listen to chapter At-Tawbah, verse 71 in the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم.
The believing men and believing women are allies of one another. They enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and establish prayer and give zakah and obey Allah and His Messenger. Those, Allah will have mercy upon them. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Contrast to the hypocrites, who are some niggardly persons, the believers pay a part of their wealth as the alms or zakat in the way of Allah and for Allah and for supporting the servants of Allah, in order to improve their society, of course. The hypocrites are mischievous and disobedient, and they behave outside of the circle of the commandment of Allah, but believers obey the command of Allah and His Messenger. No doubt the promise of mercy to the believers at the end of the verse is from the side of Allah. This promise is conclusive and assured from any point of view.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah.
Dear brothers and sisters, you are with IRIB English Radio, and this program today's special. This part is under the title of the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. Muhammad al-Mustafa, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, said, "No foot of a servant of Allah will move on the resurrection day before being asked about four things: his years and how he spent them, his body and how he used it, his wealth and how he earned and spent it, and about his love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt." The Prophet of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, teaches us through this glorious tradition hadith that is obligatory to make use of blessings and bounties that Almighty Allah granted us. It also explains to us that we are held accountable for the way we use our time, property, health, and strength, and we should use them properly in the life of this world. On the resurrection day, men will be questioned about the property that he owned in the life of this world and how he used it. Did he spend it on forbidden deeds such as drinking alcohol, gambling, frivolous entertainment, and etc.? Or did he spend it on himself and his family, participating in establishing useful and charitable projects and foundations to help the poor and needy?
Dr. Fakhr Rohani,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with discharging our responsibilities as viewed in the Islamic religion. According to a prophetic piece of hadith, the Archangel Gabriel related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be very, very kind to his wives, such that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that he thought that it wouldn't be fair to express the slightest sign of indignation against their wives. At the same time, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that a husband's act of sitting just beside his wife is better than finding a corner in a mosque in order to be engrossed only in prayers, in offering prayers. And then we find that the Holy Quran says that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran wa qudaha an-nasu wal-hijara. All those people who have faith, preserve yourselves and your community and your families from the hellfire. According to Quran exegetes in this regard, we find that it's the responsibility of men to support their own family members so that they wouldn't be misled. And at the same time, we find that so long as husbands are regarded responsible and in charge of giving financial support to the family, likewise, women and mothers are held responsible for giving the right psychological support to the rest of the family members.
Let's look at our responsibilities towards ourselves. Dear brothers and sisters, man is created in his mother's womb without knowledge, not free to choose his own shape and attributes. He is born without knowledge and, during first years of his life, is raised wholly unable to do anything. It is the Creator who decides. Man has no say in this matter. Whatever he possesses is from the favors of Allah. Had it be from his ability, the blind would choose to see, the deaf to hear, and so on. Man didn't create himself, nor was he able to do. So man is the property of Allah. Thus he should accept his self as it is, honor it, recognize it as a great and esteemed creature of Allah. Take care of it, give it its rights in full in every aspect, and make a vigorous effort to protect himself against the fire prepared for disbelievers in the hereafter. Allah has forbidden whatever is harmful to men. Killing or harming oneself is strictly forbidden in Islam. Surely man will give account to the Creator regarding himself.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
today's special and social responsibility in Islam. Public opinion is the fearful power which holds the rulers and individuals in their right path, moves the nation to act justly, and causes it to tremble with anger if harmed or touched with corruption, as with the body of an individual if similarly affected. Public opinion is the sharpest weapon to be found for ridding the community of its social ills and for accomplishing what laws fail to accomplish. It is the watchful eyes that ensures the execution of laws and the observance of those ethical rules and righteous ordinances which the community enacts. Islam thus takes special care to make public opinion the guardian against the individual's deviations and the community's excesses, enjoining the right and forbidding the wrong.
Our Lord states in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum, naran wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara. Each and every person has a responsibility to protect himself or herself against damnation in this life and in the hereafter. Not just himself or herself. Those that we are also responsible about them. Our family members, our parents, our children, our extended family members. When this verse came, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I cannot take care of myself, let alone my family. This is a very difficult task for me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Hasbuka an ta'mal wa an, it's enough for you that you practice what is good, you avoid what is bad, they would learn from you. They look at you. You are a role model. As a father, you are not just a breadwinner. There is a misconception today that the father is a breadwinner. The father provides shelter, food, healthcare, education, transportation for his family. But that's enough. That's not enough. That's the first part. That's the easiest part. The father is a role model. The father is an educator. The mother is not only cooks at home good food for her family or nurtures the children, takes care of their food and changes their diapers. She has a bigger responsibility. The mother is the one that teaches them honesty, teaches them the truth, speaking the truth, teaches them piety and righteousness. A mother inculcates in her babies, since they are very young, inculcates in them the principles of compassion and love and forgiveness and sharing with others what they have. These are bigger responsibilities.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Till another episode, Fi Amanillah.
Oh, Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here are some words of wisdom to reflect upon from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The powerful will be definitely humiliated if he ignores what is right.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasir Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another program of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There's a very beautiful but lengthy tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in which he discusses the concept of happiness and the specific grace that a person who provides happiness to somebody else's heart will be given. And this grace that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the person who enable another person to feel happiness, to feel joy, you know, to feel light, if you want to call it that, that there is a particular result or a particular kind of consequence that will occur with this particular grace, looking over the shoulder of the person who attained it. It's a very beautiful tradition. So the Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said that by the one whose hearing encompasses all voices, obviously meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a very beautiful statement, because we know that there are certain times where many millions of people at one time may be praying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously, if Allah was material, this is obviously showing that Allah subhanahu is not material, because if he was material, there had to be a kind of limit to how much he could have heard or what he can hear. Na'udhu billah. But rather, Imam is showing that no matter who prays, when you pray, how you pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hearing, in inverted commas, encompasses everything. That person A is not going to, you know, prevent person B's dua from being heard, and so on and so forth. So the Imam continues, by the one whose hearing encompasses all voices, no sooner does one fill somebody else's heart with happiness. And this is beautiful. To make somebody else happy, for in whatever reason, your children even, your wife, your spouse, your friends, your teachers, whoever, you instill happiness in their hearts. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a special grace for him from that very happiness that he enables someone else to experience. And this is the consequence of that grace, such that when he is faced with a calamity, there's a trial, there's a tribulation, something, a bala, is going to come down on this person for whatever reason. Maybe it is something that he should have, you know, not have done or something. There's a particular bala that's going to come to him. Whatever, we do not know the actual doings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But anyway, when this calamity is about to befall upon this person who created happiness in another person's heart, that grace that was given to him by means of that happiness will pass over it like water flows over a slope. It will make it clean. It will remove it. Right? So water will come down very quickly. As you see, water coming down also comes down very quickly. Very, you know, pointedly. Until this grace chases that bala away as wild camels are chased away. Allah. It's beautiful. That just by making somebody else happy, by giving joy to somebody else, a bala, a calamity, trials and tribulations, by means of a particular grace that has been given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be removed from you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to perform these acts with good intentions, with pure intentions, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. At first, we're going to talk about a famous reciter of the Noble Quran. Then we're going to listen to a recitation of that famous reciter preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. So, dear audience, stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abdulaziz Ali Faraj. He's an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1927. Despite being blind, he memorized the Noble Quran and learned recitation techniques from Sheikh Ahmad al-Ashmuni. In 1962, he managed to pass the Egyptian radio entrance exam and entered Quran radio. He was one of the powerful reciters in terms of memorization of the Noble Quran, and this trait had given him a firm self-confidence during recitation. He pays careful attention to tajweed rules, and he also observes waqf wal ibtida rules carefully. His voice is very similar to Muhammad al-Bushi, a famous reciter who lived before Abdulaziz Ali Faraj. His style is so unique and specific that can rarely be imitated. He passed away in 1977 at the age of 50. May Allah bless his soul. Dear audience, now let's listen to Sheikh Abdulaziz Ali Faraj reciting verses 1 to 5 of Surah Al-Duha, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful, by the forenoon and by the night when it is still, your Lord has neither forsaken you nor hated you. And indeed, the hereafter is better for you than the present. And verily, your Lord will give you so that you shall be well pleased.
والليل إذا سرى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سرى ما ودعك ربك وما وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran,
coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 1 to 5 of Surah Al-Duha, recited by Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Faraj. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Faraj is a very good reciter of the Quran, and his tajweed is excellent. He pays careful attention to tajweed, and he observes all of the rules. He tries to observe all of the rules of tajweed. At the beginning, we have wadhuha. We have a dhad at the beginning of this surah, which has tashdeed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that this dhad is lengthened. If you say wadhuha, wadhuha wal layli idha saja, that's incorrect. Wadhuha, you have to make it, you have to lengthen the dhad, and by doing this you have applied istitala of dhad, which means the lengthening of dhad. It's said that tajweed experts say that vowels have lengthening, which is a med, for example, a fatha, a. Whenever it's lengthened, it becomes an aliful med, a.
It would be doubled.
Yes. We have the same concept with consonants with respect to the letter dhad.
Only dhad?
Yes. Only dhad has istitala.
Mm.
It has to stretch or be lengthened. Okay, so either way that you pronounce the dhad, like a dal with tafkhim, or with the correct way from the original place of articulation of dhad, we have to hear a lengthening of the dhad. For example, wadhuha, this is with a dal. Wadhuha. Okay, mm-hmm. Or you could say, you can make it softer and say wadhuha. Wadhuha.
Okay, however, it shouldn't look like a shadda.
It should not look like a letter of, it should not sound like a letter of shadda.
Yes, or that is plosive.
Yes. Wal-layli idha saja. We have a layl, which is ammatullin. Ya sakina, preceded by a letter with fatha.
A diphthong.
Yes, it's a diphthong. So we have a fatha, which smoothly transitions into a ya'ul mad. Wal-layli.
The sound A.
Yes. Of course, you should not lengthen the ya'ul mad to two vowel counts, but the fatha plus the ya'ul mad
altogether.
Altogether, they're two vowel counts. Wal-layli idha saja. And in saja, we have letters of istifal. So they have to be pronounced with tarqiq.
Thinness.
One of the keys of mastering the Arabic accent and a good tajweed is learning the tafkhim and tarqiq of the letters. Most of the letters are letters of tarqiq, but the letters of tafkhim are a lot stronger and more noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pay extra. You have to be a lot careful when pronouncing the letters of tafkhim. And you have to make sure that whenever there is a letter of tarqiq before or after a letter of tafkhim, it is not affected by the tafkhim.
By that letter.
For example, in the next and the third verse of the surah, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا
قَالَ.
If you say قَالَ, that's incorrect.
Only wama, qaf.
Or if you say wama qala, that's also incorrect. Only the qaf has to have tafkhim.
Thickness.
Yes. Walal akhiratu khayrul laka. Here we have idgham bila ghunna. Khayrul laka. A ra with tanween followed by a lam with a tashdeed. The lam becomes mushaddad as a result of idgham. So you should not pause too much on the lam as if it has ghunna. Khayrul laka. without nasalization. And the last verse, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ يُعْطِيكَ, the عين has توسط and without قلقلة. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى.
And by توسط, concerning timing of the letter.
Yes, the timing of the letter. And with قلقلة, we mean that we should not apply قلقلة to the عين.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot easier to apply قلقلة to عين. You have to be extra careful that you don't apply قلقلة to letters such as عين and رَا whenever they're sucking.
Okay, thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned.
Now is the time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
Nowadays, you know, the Quran, maybe one day we had an excuse that, I didn't have a Quran with me, I could have sat and read. Well, today all of us have our Qurans. It's in our phones, like really there's no excuse anymore, right? There's this really cool app that I know my family has, where every time you open the Quran you have to read a verse. Have you seen this app? That's a cool app. That forces you to read the Quran, right? So we all click our phones just to check. Yeah, but we check our phones just like randomly. We have this addiction of checking our phones, isn't it? Just to check. You know there's nothing, but we check. There's nothing, we check. Here, you can't access your phone until you read a verse of the Quran, right? Now, you can click an X, but then are you going to X God out? You're not going to X God out, you know? So you're going to read a verse of the Quran. Like according to the people who made the app, you know, people have, they say because of this app, people have finished the Quran like in less than a month they finished the Quran. That's how much they check their phone. I mean, it shows how much they check their phone, but that's basically what it is. So today we need more affinity with the Quran.
That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك.
My dear listeners, brothers and sisters, as you have been with us in the previous programs, since Imam Ali alayhi salam in this part of the supplication says, Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunuba allati tahbisu ad-du'a, Allah, forgive me the sins which hold back supplication, we started talking about the factors, the most important ones, hindering the acceptance of the supplication or holding them back. The last two factors were closely related to each other, and they were both about accumulating wealth, of course more than one's needs, and one of them related to not giving the wealth out for charity. Another factor to be discussed is the tribute of cupidity. It is interest in what other people possess, wishing and asking for it, and stating that interest in a way that forces other people to give away their property. This is regarded as cupidity by the scholars. The fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, said, رَأَيْتُ الْخَيْرَ كُلَّهُ قَدْ اجْتَمَعَ فِي قَتْعِ الطَّمَعِ أَمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. I see all goodness in avoiding cupidity for the wealth and position that other people possess. So this cupidity is what is called in Arabic طمع. Satan asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, what fixes belief in a servant's heart? Imam alayhi salam answered, piety and chastity. Then he asked again, what detaches a servant's belief? Imam alayhi salam replied, cupidity. So, you now understand the depth of the meaning of this attribute, this cupidity, and the difference it has from greed and stinginess. And these three factors are all hindering and holding back our supplications. The 10th infallible Imam, Imam Hadi alayhi salam, has stated, "At-tama'u sajiyyatun sayyi'a." Cupidity is a very obscene quality.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf. And I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you.
Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
And interestingly, not longing for what other people possess, not wishing and asking for it, is a key element in achieving the goodness of this world. And this is the changing of the point of view that we have touched upon earlier. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in this regard has stated in a very beautiful tradition, إذا أردت أن تقر عينك وتنال خير الدنيا والآخرة. If you want to be happy, if you want to be delighted, and if you want to gain goodness both in this world and hereafter and the last day, فقطع الطمع أما في أيدي الناس. Do not long for what others have. You may have seen how lives have been ruined around you by just looking and longing for what others have. That is why we have been ordered in our Islamic thoughts not to hang out with some of our friends that are really in a higher state of richness than us. This unconsciously will make us wish for what they have. This will deprive us from our independency and from us being freely choosing what is right. Imam Ali alayhi salam has stated, من أراد أن يعيش حرا أيام حياته, the one who wants to live a free life, فلا يسكن الطمع قلبه, he should care not to place cupidity in his heart. So this طمع and cupidity has been one of the most elements in some of the people opposing the Imam of their time, and what we have seen in the history of the plains of Karbala. In the next program, dear listeners, we will touch upon yet another element closely related to this one, which is jealousy. Thank you for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر.
We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program that is dedicated to the memory of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. And it's about his life and times. And once again, I'm joined by my good friend, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, on the subject of Imam Khomeini's life and times. And I'd like to say salam and welcome him to the program.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for giving us your valuable time. Sir, we are on the subject of leadership, and there's a growing lack of it in the West, mm-hmm. for some reason. Because, of course, you know, there's crisis upon crisis of what's happening in the West at the moment. So take us into the difference, really, between what happened here in 1979 and what's going on in the West since then.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think this is a very good subject to talk about, and it really sure. is one of those basic issues.
That
we're able to correctly analyze it and collect and correctly and, you know, deeply try to understand it, it can really open the doors for a lot of other issues.
Absolutely.
It's the key that opens up a lot of the doors for other issues. Mm. And, you know, if we want to maybe... at the beginning, maybe give some headings, like crisis of leadership in the West, you know, the supreme leader.
Yes.
You know, religious leadership.
Absolutely.
Wilayat Faqih.
Yes.
Right? So these are things, you know, when we talk about having Wilayat Faqih, when we talk about having a Islamic scholar, a faqih, a person
who is...
A jurisprudent.
Yes.
Who is, you know, an expert mm-hmm. in laws,
yes.
being the leader of a society, mm-hmm. of a nation, and you know, this is versus other ways and other kinds of leadership.
Absolutely.
This is what we're talking about.
This
is what a big part of the revolution was about.
Yes.
This is a big part of what when we're talking about governance in Islam. In the religion of Islam, according to Islam, in the time when the Prophet and the Imams are not physically present.
That's correct, yes.
You know, we're talking about, well, what kind of a leadership do you have?
Exactly.
Okay. And, of course, that's related to the larger issue of what kind of a political system you have.
Of course.
And you know, this is the beautiful thing that we can see in Iran, is that we have a situation where we have a very deep, complex... and a sophisticated political system in which we have, you know, elected officials